So Hebrews chapter 11 in our Bible this morning. Hebrews chapter number 11, and we will continue on with that series of messages then on faith. And last week we looked at the definition of faith and how the Bible says that it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We spoke about the fact that faith, the object of faith, is God. And it's not some obscure, unknown thing, but the object of our faith is God. And as God reveals himself to us in his word, not based on our preconceived ideas, but based upon what he tells us about himself and his word. Romans 10:17 reminds us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we recognize the need of the word of God as God, trusting God according to his word, as he reveals himself to us through his word. We also spent some time looking at the fact that faith begins really with creation. And the beginning, the origins of the world will affect everything, every other aspect of your life. And the fact of creation is stated in the word of God, that God made everything. And whether you believe the Bible or not, whatever you believe about the beginning of the world, you believe by faith. It takes faith because you weren't there. And the best thing to do is trust the one who was there and has given us the record of that, and that is God and his word. And so we recognize creation. And God as creator, of course, that creation is not only revealed in the beginning of the Bible, but all throughout the Bible, and it's the foundation of our life. And it reveals to us the different aspects of God and what God is able to do because he is the creator, and our responsibility to God because he is the creator. And so we recognize the importance of creation in our faith. Today we come to verse number 4, and it's a story we're probably quite familiar with, Cain and Abel. And the story is about that, and of course it's recorded for us in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, and we'll probably take some time to get back there and look at that as well. The story of Cain and Abel is not unfamiliar. I'm sure that it is familiar to most of us. And we realize that it is used sometimes to talk about loving your brother. And that is actually what the Bible refers to it as in the book of 1 John. Refers to loving our brother also, and refers to Cain and Abel. And we see it or hear it used as well, not talking about not being jealous about somebody else. Because that is an aspect in the story as well of Cain and Abel. Because we find that Cain was jealous that Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God. We're not going to look at it from those perspectives today. We're going to look at it as a matter of faith, because that's what is recorded here. And so look with me at Hebrews 11, verse number 4. It says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." We're going to speak this morning about worshiping God by faith. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that we can be here this morning. Thank you for the word of God we have that we can look at and read. And Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts as we spend some time in this passage this morning. Lord, I pray that as we think about Cain and Abel, that we realize the faith that played a part, or the lack of faith that played a part in that whole situation. Lord, as we think about Abel and Cain and their sacrifices that they brought to you. Lord, you know the need of our life this morning, and so I pray that you speak to us each one according to the need of our heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Interesting that God begins the hall of faith, as we may call it, in Hebrews chapter 11 here with Abel. We might expect that it would begin with Adam and Eve. They were the first people, and they were recorded first. Their life is recorded first in the Word of God. They were the ones who knew what it was to walk with God. Physically, they walked with God. In the cool of the day, we read that in the book of Genesis. They had seen firsthand God's creation when it was brand new and made. Can you imagine what it was like? I mean, we look around and we see some beauty in the earth today, but can you imagine how beautiful it was when God first made it, when it hadn't been tainted by sin? It must have been phenomenal to see. They had seen that, and they knew God. They knew God to be the creator because they existed, they came into being and knew him as the one who had made everything. But they're not listed here first in Hebrews chapter 11. The one who is listed first is Abel by name. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We see that his sacrifice was more excellent. Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain's. The word for more excellent has a thought of exceeding, more in quantity or quality. Now we recognize it wasn't more in quantity, so therefore we recognize it was the quality of the sacrifice that was more excellent than the sacrifice that Cain had brought. It's not specified here, nor in Genesis to that point, what God had required of sacrifice. It doesn't say in Genesis chapter 3 anywhere what was to be sacrificed. It doesn't. So when we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 4 and find Cain and Abel bringing their sacrifices to God, we would say, how did they know what to bring as a sacrifice? Well, we believe that God would have instructed Adam, who would have then taught his children, Adam and Eve would have taught their children on the necessities of sacrifice. We do know that Adam and Eve knew of the coming Redeemer. God had promised that there would be one, the woman's seed, that would destroy or bruise the serpent's head. So we do know that they knew of the coming Redeemer. There was no doubt that Adam and Eve had shared that promise with their children, that God was going to deliver them from the penalty of sin which they had brought upon themselves. But we realize that this sacrifice then is stated to be more excellent. Why was it more excellent? Well, I believe it was more excellent because of what was pictured by it. It was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain's because of what was pictured by it. Let's take our Bible and turn to the book of Genesis, right back near the beginning and right near the beginning of the book, Genesis chapter number 4. And we find the story of this sacrifice that we are reading about in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4. Genesis chapter 4, it says, "And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And so we find that it says in verse number 3, "In process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. The Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but not to Cain and to his offering." They both brought their sacrifices. Evidently, these were not the first sacrifices that were made. No doubt, Adam and Eve had made sacrifices to God, and Cain and Abel, as children growing up, had seen those sacrifices take place. As time went on and they became older and they became more independent, it came time that they had to bring their own sacrifice to God. No longer were they under the authority of their own home, we might say, of the home of their parents. And so they came to God with their own sacrifice. They came to that place in their life. Children need to learn of their parents and do learn from their parents, but each must establish their own relationship with God. There comes a time in a child's life, as a child grows, that they begin to understand about God for themselves. And it's no longer enough to say, well, I'll just do what mom and dad say. They have to understand God for themselves and to build that relationship with him through Jesus Christ, establish that relationship with him through Christ. This sacrifice, though, was not the first one. You say, how do you know it wasn't the first one? Well, I believe it wasn't the first one because it says in verse 21 of chapter 3, that unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. What do you suppose God made coats of skins from? It was made from skin. coats of skin, animal skin, would be indicated. And God made them coats of skins. Now, we realize that God could have created just a coat. He could have just made a coat of skin. But I believe, and I believe that the Scripture teaches us, that those coats of skins were made by God killing an innocent animal to provide the covering for the sin of Adam and Eve. And so there was a sacrifice made to provide the covering for Adam and Eve, then an animal had to die. How heart-wrenching it must have been for Adam and Eve to share that story with Cain and Abel. The story of their disobedience. The story of how they got removed from the garden. The story of how they came to have those clothes, those coats of skins that God had provided for them. And yet, as heart-wrenching as it must have been for them to have to tell their children, we disobeyed our loving Creator. Yet at the same time, how beautiful it must have been for them to share that God is gracious and God is merciful and He provided this covering for our sin. We didn't deserve it, but God provided it for us. And so this sacrifice, coupled with the promise of Genesis 3:15, pictured the coming Redeemer. Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain's because it pictured the coming Redeemer, Jesus Christ. It pictured how God would provide a covering and a forgiveness for their sin. Not a temporary one, but a permanent one. You notice that it says that Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and that was his offering to the Lord. Whereas Cain's offering was of the fruits of the ground. What was the fruits of the ground? Well, the Bible tells us that he was a tiller of the ground. He planted vegetables, we might say. He was a vegetable gardener. He may have brought some carrots to the Lord that day. He may have brought some potatoes. He may have brought some onions. I don't know exactly what he grew or what he brought, but he brought of the fruit of the ground to God to offer in sacrifice. But that wasn't the picture of the sacrifice that was demanded and that was required, because that did not picture the coming Redeemer. That did not picture the covering that God had made for sin through those coats of skins in chapter 3, verse 21. And so down through the Bible, we see the continuing picture of God's provision of salvation, God's covering for sin. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, the Bible says that Abraham said to Isaac, God shall provide himself a lamb. That was a picture of the coming of Jesus Christ. God provided himself a lamb. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, was the Lamb of God. Exodus chapter 12 records the institution of the Passover, a beautiful picture of the angel of death passing over, and of how when we apply the blood of Christ to our lives and to our hearts, that the penalty for sin, the penalty of death, it passes over. The wrath of God passed over. We're delivered from that. Leviticus 16 describes a day of atonement where a sacrifice was made annually for the sins of the people. And the scapegoat had the sins placed upon it, was sent out as well. But the sacrifice was made. Isaiah 53 depicts Jesus Christ as the one upon whom all our iniquities were laid. And he was bruised and wounded for our iniquities. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And so these pictures down through the Old Testament and into the New remind us of the coming of Jesus Christ. Abel's sacrifice was that same kind of picture. It was more excellent than Cain's because of what it pictures. In 1 John 1:7, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us that the blood of bulls and of goats could never take away sin, but Jesus Christ came once and He paid the price for sin. And so we recognize again, Abel's sacrifice is described as being more excellent than Cain's because of what it pictured. But it's also a more excellent sacrifice than Cain's because he did it God's way. He came God's way. We see that because His offering was received of the Lord. God had respect unto His sacrifice. But unto Cain and his offering, God did not have respect. God received Cain's or Abel's sacrifice. He received that. Last week, we noted that the people of Hebrews chapter 11 are said to have done as God said. They acted in faith. God said, they acted upon what God said. Therefore, they were trusting God by faith to do what God said to do. They followed the instructions of God by faith. It takes faith to do things God's way because faith is taking God at His word. Faith is a choice. We choose where to place our faith. We choose who to place our faith in. Abel chose to offer his sacrifice by faith. Cain chose not to offer by faith. Humanly speaking, what would it matter? A sacrifice was a sacrifice, wasn't it? If they, in the sincerity of their hearts, brought a sacrifice, whatever it was, humanly speaking, we say, well, they were sincere, they brought something to God. Wasn't that all that God demanded? No, God said that there was a certain kind of sacrifice that needed to be brought. Some people look at this story and they say, God is unreasonable. God is not fair to Cain. Cain brought something that he had worked hard to produce and he brought it to God. God should have been happy with that. And God is not right and God is not fair. But yet, the problem with Cain's sacrifice, we see, was it was not a faith. He came with what he thought. Not with what God said, but what he thought. Cain's sacrifice was not accepted by God because it wasn't the type of sacrifice that God required. Cain's sacrifice showed that Cain believed in God as his provider, but not as his redeemer. He was looking to God. Yes, God was the creator, and he acknowledged that, but he said, I'm going to come to God on my terms. He thought that he could set the terms for the offering and not God. I'll come to God, but I'll do it my way. I'm going to bring God the fruits of the ground. I know that God's asked for a sacrifice that where blood is shed. I know that's what God wants, but I don't see why my sacrifice isn't good enough for God. I'll bring what I can do. When God didn't accept Cain's offering, Cain was angry. It was a self-righteous pride. Why would God accept Abel's sacrifice and not mine? It's not right. And he was self-righteous. Jealous of Abel's sacrifice being accepted and not his. This is the evidence that Cain came with the wrong attitude in the first place. I'll do it my way. 1 John 3:12 says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Cain said, I'll do it my way. Instead of examining himself when a sacrifice was not accepted, and God offered him that opportunity, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain, think about this. Think this through. And Cain said, no, I do it my way. You know, there are many Cains in our world today. Many of us are like Cain. Well, yeah, I'll come to God, but my terms, I'll do it my way. Rather than simply taking God at His word, they come up with their own way of worshiping Him. They think that God should be pleased because, hey, I'm doing something. Shouldn't God be happy with that? But Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, because Abel's sacrifice was a sacrifice of faith. He may have said, I don't really fully understand why it has to be that I have to take one of the firstlings of my flock and bring it as an offer to sacrifice to God this way. But this is what God said to do. Therefore, I will do it. It was by faith. Cain said, I'll do it my way. I'll bring what I think. There are many people who are sincere, but they've been misled as to what God expects. Many people say, well, yes, I'd like to go to heaven, so I will do it my way. I will come with my best, and I will bring God my best. then therefore I will offer him. And when he sees my best, he'll have no choice but to say, I'll open the doors of heaven for you. But see, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Jesus answered and said unto him, it says in John 6:29, this is the work of God, that ye believe in him whom he hath sent. The Jews were saying, well, we're going to come to God this way. And Jesus said, this is what you need to do. You need to believe in him whom he hath sent. It's faith. Sadly, many will find out too late that they didn't come to God his way. Because Jesus says in Matthew 7:21-22, there'll be many that will come and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. Sad words. So sad. But God expects faith. He wants us to come by faith. Some Christians go about worshiping God in their own way, and they say, well, I'm worshiping God, and it doesn't matter what the Bible says. This is the way I want to worship God. God says, come to me according to my word. Come by faith. Do what I've requested and do what I've required in my word. Some believe that living under grace means no rules. Some think that we can just do our own thing and expect God to be happy. But isn't that what Cain did? I'll do what I think, instead of searching the scriptures to see what God says. God has given us instructions of how to worship him and how to please him. And he tells that we ought to have clean hands and a pure heart in Psalm 24, verses 3 and 5. He says, be holy, for I am holy, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. He says in Romans chapter 12 that we ought to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's our reasonable service, and not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says that we're to be separate from the world in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and yet how often we think, well, I'll just play around with sin, but God will still have to be happy with me, what I'm doing. See, God gives us many things in his word, and he says, this is how I want you to live as believers. And by faith, we ought to say, if that's what God desires, then I don't maybe fully understand everything about it, but that's what I want to do. I want to please God. I want to come to him by faith. That's what Abel did, rather than Cain. And so we could go on to speak about how God desires us to be in his house, how God desires us to be a clean vessel and to depart from, flee from youthful lusts, and to get, honor him with the first fruits of all our increase. And we could go on and talk about how God desires us and how God expects us to seek him first and so on. Remember David? He wanted to do right, didn't he? He wanted to bring the ark to Jerusalem. He said, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do this for God. But what did he fail to do? He failed to look in the Word of God and see how God demanded it be done. He said, I'm going to make a new cart, and we'll have a brand new cart with great nice oxen on it. We'll carry that cart. But God had said the Levites needed to carry the Ark of God, and it was to be done in a very particular and special way. And rather than doing it God's way, David did it his own way. And there were terrible consequences. A man lost his life. And the Ark of God failed to reach Jerusalem for many years, because he didn't come God's way. I remember when I was probably, I guess I was in grade 9, so what, 13, 14. We bought a house. My parents bought a house, and it had a gravel driveway, I think, and there was gravel on the grass. Maybe we just piled the gravel on the grass to do some work around the back. I don't remember. But you ever picked gravel out of grass? What a horrible job. You rake it and rake it and rake it, and you still see gravel pieces. So it comes down to picking the pieces of gravel out of the grass. I remember my dad said to us boys, I want you to get all the gravel off the grass. Ugh, what a lousy job. I didn't want to pick out gravel out of the grass. So I remember coming home from school one day, and my older brother was there, and he was, you know, picking gravel out of the grass, and I said, "Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something else. Something else that needed to be done. You know, something else I thought my dad should be happy with, because it was something else. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I said, I'm not going to pick gravel out of the grass. I'm going to do this instead." And my brother says to me, he says, "You know, that's not what God asked us to do." And he related it to the fact that, you know, just like serving God, we do what God wants us to do, not just what we feel like. "Well, God wants me to do that. I don't really like doing that. So instead, I'm going to come to God my way, and I'm going to do my own thing, and I'll serve Him in my way." God says, "No, I've told you how I want you to come to me. I've told you how I want you to serve me. You obey that by faith." And from that day to this, and that's over 30 years ago, That lesson, my brother, I don't know whether he ever told me anything else that I can remember so well. But it's just like it. Every time I think about this Cain and Abel, I think picking gravel out of the grass. You know, we like to do things our way. No, Dad, I don't want to pick gravel out of the grass. I'll do this for you instead. No, Dad said, "I want the gravel out of the grass." God says, "I want you to do this for me." And we say, "No, Lord, I'm not ready. I don't want to do that. I'm going to do this instead. You'll be happy with that, won't you?" Now, that's what Cain tried. It wasn't a sacrifice of faith. It's not up to us to make our own rules, but to live by His rules. You know, that takes faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Maybe you've been seeking to worship God on your own terms. Just believe what He said in His book. Abel's sacrifice was also a testimony. The Bible says that he obtained witness by that sacrifice that he was righteous. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of His gifts. He obtained witness by His testimony that he was righteous before God. It was God who declared him to be righteous, not himself, not anybody else, but God who said it. By having respect to Abel's offering, God declared that Abel had done right. He followed God and done God's word, and he done what was right. 2 Corinthians 10:18 says, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." Jesus spoke about Abel in Matthew chapter 23, verse 35, as being the first martyr. And He spoke of him being righteous Abel. God testified by how Abel responded and lived by faith that Abel was righteous. We already read 1 John 3:12 that states that Abel was righteous, but Cain was wicked. God testified that Abel was righteous because he came by faith. Abel's sacrifice was a sacrifice of faith by which he declared his faith in the coming Lamb of God, the one who'd been promised to come. By offering that lamb as an offering, he was declaring himself as a sinner who needed God's provision for him. He needed God's covering, God's provision. His righteousness was by faith. And that's the only way to be declared righteous by God, by faith. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How can I be declared righteous? By trusting the righteous one, by trusting Jesus Christ, by faith. But can't I do enough good? Can't I pile up all my good works and that'll be declare me to be righteous? No, it's by faith. It's by trusting Jesus Christ. It's saying, "I'm not righteous of myself, but I need the righteousness of Jesus Christ upon me," and trusting Him by faith. Abraham was declared righteous by faith. Paul said, "I want to be found clothed upon with the righteousness which is of God by faith in Jesus Christ," in Philippians 3:9. Have you been declared righteous by God? Not, oh, look at what I've done. I'm good, aren't I? But no, God's saying, you are righteous. Now I'm declaring you righteous because you've trusted my Son as your Savior. Declared righteous by faith. And the Bible says that the testimony of Cain didn't end only with his life, but by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. When these words were penned, it was probably 4,000 years after Abel had lived. But still, his testimony was there. Here we are now, another 2,000 years later, and we can still say, by Abel's faith, he brought the right sacrifice to God, and he is yet dead, of course, 6,000 years ago. Still, he's speaking to us today. Abel lived a short life and died many years ago, but his testimony carries on today. He's a testimony of those who worship God by faith, who come to God God's way. Do you realize that your testimony will live on long after you? People will talk about your life many years, even after you're gone. And that's for the good or for the bad. Your life will live on as a testimony to the way you lived your life. What kind of legacy are you leaving? Are you leaving one of faith and serving God, like Abel? Or are you living one of like Cain, who said, I'm going to do it my way. It doesn't matter what God says. I have my way. I'm going to do it. And he should be happy with that. So is it a testimony of faith and serving God, or of sight and unbelief? How do people know you? How will they remember you? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to leave a testimony like Abel? By faith, he lived his life. By faith, she followed God. By faith, she had a great testimony. By faith, people knew he lived with God. He lived by faith, and people would remember you that way. It would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it, to have a testimony that you lived your life by faith. See, faith is a choice, isn't it? We choose whether we're going to trust and who we're going to trust. God has given us this book, His Word. And He says we can trust Him by faith because He's never failed any of the promises. He's fulfilled them all. And there are some yet to be fulfilled. They'll be fulfilled just as guaranteed as the ones that already have been. He will never let you down. Always know that you can trust Him, but you have to make a choice. Yes, I will trust Him. See, but I have my ideas and my plans, and set them aside and make sure they line up with this book. Trust God by faith. Live by faith. Worship God by faith. See, worshiping God by faith requires coming to Him and worshiping Him on His terms. Don't be a Cain, but be an Abel, a person of faith. Have you received the righteousness which is of God by faith? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your own Savior? It's a wonderful thing to be declared righteous by God. And you can be. Say, but I'm a sinner. That's how you have to see yourself. But trust Jesus Christ by faith, and you can receive that righteousness of God which is by faith through Jesus Christ. Be saved today. That righteousness, God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness applied to you by faith, is the only righteousness which is acceptable by God. Don't be one who gets to stand before God one day and says, but Lord, look at all I did for you. Look at how I served you. And He says, I never knew you because you never trusted me by faith. Trust Him by faith today. Christian, how about you today? Are you worshiping God on His terms, or are you saying, well, I'll just do it on my terms, and when any spare parts and spare time I've got, well, okay, God, you can have them. God says, no, come to me on my terms. Follow my word. Seek me first. Seek me early. Honor me. What legacy or testimony are you living? And what legacy or testimony are you leaving behind by the way you are living your life. See, faith is vital. We'll see in a coming message, it's by faith we please God. It's the only way. May we choose to live by faith, and may we choose also to worship God by faith. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again for this time, and thank you for this portion of Scripture. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to apply these truths to our hearts and lives today. Lord, if there be anyone here this morning that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would realize, Lord, that you love them so much. You provided that salvation as a free gift so that they can have eternal life today and know that they have it today for all of eternity. Lord, help them, I pray, to see that they need to come to you by faith, because it's not of our works which we have done, but according to your mercy that you saved us. And so, Lord, help us to see that we need to receive you by faith, be made righteous by faith. But then, Lord, I pray as Christians also that we would see in your word, and we would seek your word, and we would read it and realize how you desire us to come to you, and that we would worship you by faith, not on the terms that we set, but on the terms that you have given. Lord, that we would give ourselves wholly and completely to you, to be used of you. For, Lord, we know that you desire us to do that, and that's the path of joy, and that's the path of satisfaction in our lives. So, Lord, we thank you for the testimony of Abel, who, though he is dead and has been for many years, yet by his testimony he yet speaks to us today. And I pray, Lord, by your Spirit you speak to us through your word and through that which we've considered this morning. We pray in Jesus' name.